Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome in to the Toyota Losers Lounge, maybe the most straightforward losers rounds of my entire career here at DNVR. This is the DNVR Avalanche post-game show. The Colorado Avalanche lose 7-6 to the Winnipeg Jets in game one of the series. I'd give you a 60-second rundown, but it would just be me saying Alexander Georgiev gave up seven over and over and over.
Seven!
I was going to do a headphone warning, sorry.
Where's the, what's the gif of the Seinfeld?
I don't know.
Elaine's sitting there saying seven over and over.
Oh, I don't know.
That's going to be this
what,
show.
What it makes me think of is the scene in Almost Famous when the kid finds out he's the wrong age, his parent, that his mom's been lying to him, and he's sitting in the backseat of the car just going, 11? I was really hoping we'd get there so I could use it.
That
but.
Would be an all-timer, to say the least. We'll get into all the game. We'll break everything down. But I want to start.
Fucking seven goals, man.
I don't want to bury the lead here. I genuinely just.
Oh, my
did
God.
We just watch Alexander Georgiev play his last game as a Colorado Avalanche?
We should have.
I mean, I sure hope he's not in the next game. I can tell you that. I don't care. I sure would like to know what illness Eustace has. I mean, cross your fingers. Hope that he's. Because it can't be any worse than that. It can't. So, call this poor analysis. At the end of the day, it was piss poor performance.
You know what I appreciate about it, though?
What's that?
This is me being genuine here. I appreciate he did it in game one.
Do it in a game seven or something?
To do it in a game six in Vegas, where you light your Avalanche career on fire and there's no way they can even have a conversation about bringing you back.
Well, he did
because
that
your name
regardless.
Is Philip Grubauer and you're horrible. So I'm glad it was in game one and we can just move on. Put the kid in.
And be done
and
with
whatever
it.
Whatever happens, happens. If it doesn't get any better, well, then it doesn't get any better.
Well, but it can't get you just, worse, man.
Yeah, you just gave up seven. Your starter gave up 7 on 23. Were there other issues in the game?
Absolutely.
Of course. But 7? 7. 7.
7.
He made 3 saves.
And really, it was 22. He made one more save after the 7th. What is there to say? Like, obviously, our podcast hasn't been the biggest defenders of Alexander Georgiev on any given night. But I was at least willing to say, you know what? It's the playoffs. Here's your chance, guy. If you play well in the playoffs, all of these regular season goes away. Nobody remembers the regular season if you go have a good playoffs. And you don't just lose. You completely shit the bed. there is not
Super
even
Chad.
A conversation. No one can justifiably say that Alexander Georgiev should start another game.
I mean, the guy on Twitter who called me fat is trying.
Well, is that Georgiev's burner? Or like?
I'm wondering, man. I haven't gone to look at it, but other people have, and they're all telling me the same thing, that that's all that guy does.
Well, is it? Somebody on the Super Chat talked about shit in the bed, so I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Look, that was a bonding moment, okay? Some of us have apparently been there.
Alexander Georgiev has now, so.
At least Georgiev had the balls to do it on national television. I did it in the privacy of my home in my 20s.
our super chat at the boss to put it on the super chat.
Exactly. Jeez, man. For him to do it on national television, what a hero.
And
a hero that we shouldn't watch play hockey anymore this year.
And look, we'll get into the other angles of this, but I'm in my doomer phase of this podcast, so let me doom for a second. You scored 6 goals on the best goalie in the NHL.
Yeah.
And you lost.
Yeah.
Because of one guy.
1.5, but yeah.
Josh Manson's on the list for sure. He's going in the dud category.
Dude, he's definitely... he's definitely my half.
And
he will be a dud tonight.
I asked this on the podcast, and I know this isn't a fair comparison. But I guess not podcast, on the watch along. If you gave a league average goaltender 22 shootout attempts,
23 at the end.
23. Would he give up 7 goals?
Nope. Nope.
I find this such a fascinating question. I want to know. Where's Hunter Miskin these days? Put him in
that
net.
Is not a league average goaltender.
Put him in net against 23 shootout attempts, and I want to see how many get scored.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Just a, what in, just, Jesus, what in the world, dude? What the hell did we just watch?
You said we'd get to this. Let's get to this now. Is this the worst goaltending performance in Avalanche history?
The only other one that came to mind was
Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Well, Statue of Liberty. I mean, the game 7-0 from Wall was obviously brutal because of the game. Seriously, Grubauer in game 6, because if you go and look at half
it's
of those
bad.
Goals,
it's
you're
pretty
like,
bad.
What in the world is this goaltending? Like, those are the ones that come to mind. Statue of Liberty, I guess, was just the one
it's
individual
one, an individual play.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
But 7-0 Wah against Detroit in game 7 is up there. That's what I'm saying. He did it in game 1. Thank you. Thank you for not doing this in a game 7.
Eliminated this way. Yeah.
Thank you for not doing this in a game 7. So this is my lasting memory of the season. That will. I can already see this is coming back to haunt me as we get deeper into the series.
Something horrible is going to happen.
Exactly. Awesome.
I get you win as a team, you lose a team. Yes, there are some terrible breakdowns from Josh Manson, from Casey Mittelstadt. But it's 7-on-23.
Yeah.
Every single part of this game is infused as well. The Avs did this thing. Yeah, but he already gave up 7.
Yep. Like Josh Manson on that second goal. The
horrible.
Blind backhand that gets blocked by Iafallo. It's such a horrible play. It's such a horrible play.
What did he do?
He was put in a soup by his goalie. God, he's put in a hot soup. Probably yelled over. And then he threw it back at him. He's like, oh, shit, didn't expect it. And that's what happens. That's called miscommunicating. But, yeah, it's a bad play by Josh, but it's a bad play by the goalie with the puck.
Hang on. I want to address this in our Toyota chat. I'm not defending Alexander Georgiev at all, but who would the Avs go get at the trade deadline?
This year.
Who are they going to go get? Ullmark actively vetoed a trade. You couldn't go get him. He wasn't going to move.
Yep.
Who are you going to go get?
Yeah, I'm just like, you had to do what you've done. Now the Anonin versus a different guy. We know that they had a deal for a goaltender that fell through. Ultimately, honestly, it doesn't matter if Anonin had been healthy.
Yep.
If he had been healthy and they brought him into this game, it probably looks very different.
Probably. So, they win 6-5.
They might win that game, yeah. You might win that game. Who knows, man? I'm not here for the trade deadline. We're going to run this back and we're going to be all upset
about it. They
tried,
it didn't
work.
Hey, they've seen this coming. It's nothing new. They've seen this coming. He doesn't get up from these things. That's why he goes... Every game, it's a pattern, 4-on-10, 4-on-9, and then the game is out of reach, but the only thing is they're so good, and then they can score, you know what I mean? So they almost came back. But for me, it's like I don't see how he gets back up. His body language after every goal from 4 or 5, 6, he's just down, and he wants to just like...
I mean, this was it. This was the last straw.
You're a professional.
Right?
You got to be able to control your body language as a goaltender, because you just look defeated. You give wings to the other team, the crowd, and your bench looks at you and it's like, wow, Jesus, wow, we better not give up a shot here. This guy's not into it. So body language is big as a professional athlete. It's big as an amateur athlete. So, but he can't control his body language. At some point, he hasn't been able to control it all year. He right now, I believe he's defeated. I don't see how he gets back up from this, because the Avs played a great game. Did they make mistakes? Yes. But every single little mistake got in their net because they didn't get saves. At the end of the day, it's just a fact. It's not poor analysis. It's not pissing on the goalie. He was not up to snuff. But it's reality. He was not up to snuff. Now, I don't know what Eustace has. I've seen enough of Eustace now in the last few weeks or whatever it is, that it can't be any worse than this. Actually, it can be a lot better. And I think that he can rally, and then the guys rally behind and go on a run. I picked the Avs to win the series. I still pick the Avs to win the series. If they play the way they did tonight, listen, they play an outstanding game.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We will.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm still sticking by him. Not the goaltender, the team.
It's just... And I don't even blame the Avs all that much for giving him the game one star. Ignoring the Eustace thing. Obviously, he was going to start once Eustace was sick.
Well, he was starting no matter what.
Because he's the type of guy that, hey, if he has a good game, that mental gets up. And he's a streaky guy. But he didn't just lose you a hockey game. He completely fell apart.
Yeah. Yeah, he... He's self-immolated, man.
Yep.
I mean, that's all it was.
A little on the nose, I think, perhaps, for recent events, but...
Staying away from this?
Look. The only way I see Georgiev getting back into the net for Colorado is Zanin is still sick for game two.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
There is no questioning. There's no we'll see. Listen. Oh, my God. I tell you guys all the time. You lose two in a row in the playoffs, you are in deep poo-poo. Eustace might have the poo-poo right now, but he needs to fix it and get in the net. I'm not trying to be stupid here. Like, I don't know what his sickness is, his illness is. But at some point, playoffs, you lose two in a row. It is a tough task. But right now, this is too good of a team to wait. You cannot wait on the goaltender right now to figure things out. He's not figuring it out. He has not figured it out in a while now. And if Eustace is alive or whatever he is, like, I I'm not making fun. I don't know what he has. And it's none of our business. We're just assuming. But I'm assuming he's fine. He's got to get in the net. Has to.
So my question for you is just, does Ananin have the poo-poo in his bed?
Like our super chat? I don't know what he has. I'm not making fun of it. Hopefully he doesn't have like what Miles had when, you know, kept him out for a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's like, oof. Wow.
That'd be tough.
This is a tough one.
Did Georgiev poison Ananin to give him the longest leash possible?
Well, that was a rope to that. I don't know what it was.
The dude could have a leash wrapping around the world, and it wasn't long enough to come back from that game. I don't know what to tell you, man.
This is ridiculous, man.
It was just terrible.
Not good.
Let's move into the rest of this game. Outside of giving up 7 goals, I think if you're an Avalanche skater, you really should feel pretty good about this game.
If you're an Avalanche skater not named Josh Manson.
You just dropped 6 on the best goalie in the league.
He didn't.
Josh Manson didn't.
Yeah. And Josh Manson, let's be real, man. We're like, Georgiev was terrible and great. Yeah. We can move through that part of the pod. Yeah. But Josh Manson did him no favors on goals 2 and 3.
Yep. Look,
the second goal is what it is, but then
the
your
third
team
goal
response
is unacceptable. Yeah.
The team response, you get 2 goals in 18 seconds, and all of a sudden you shut that really loud building back up. And now what? You turn around and you give up a guy right in front of your net.
Just doesn't cover him.
It's ridiculous.
The one thing.
It's ridiculous.
And look, people make mistakes. people are human. You pay Josh Manson to stop that play from happening.
That exact play.
That one.
Oh, he goes to war in front of the net. He's not going to let a guy just bang home pucks, blah, 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 blah. Well, he just did.
And it's not just, like, obviously, there are other issues there. Casey Mittelstadt loses his battle behind the net. But
my issue is Josh Manson is the guy on that play.
That's his job. That's his job that got missed.
So bad.
On what should on your forward core, your depth forward core is giving you the money in the first period. They're all over this game. Val Nichushkin with an unbelievable shot
throughout the game.
Miles Wood hasn't scored in 30 fucking games.
That's the best Miles Wood has ever played as an F.
What more do you want from this team? And then you get the top guys. Nathan MacKinnon puts one, and even if it is a BS goal from Connor Hellebuck, it goes in the net. And you just can't get it together to win a period that you scored three goals in.
Yeah.
A little bit of puck luck. They hit a couple posts. The sixth goal is like an inch, not even an inch, a millimeter in. I'm saying a little bit of puck luck, this game goes to overtime. You know, as crazy as it is. That's why I'm telling you that we're all saying the same thing. There's a lot of positive. There's a lot of something to look forward to in game two.
What makes me nervous is that I don't know that the Avs can play a significantly better game as a group of skaters. Like, obviously, there were a couple of big breakdowns.
Yeah, of course.
But you know what? You look at the other end of the ice, and
they had huge breakdowns, too.
The Jets played horribly.
Because they were overwhelmed by the Avs. It's a good team.
Is that what it was, or was it just a bad game?
No, I think a little bit of both. But they're good. Avs are good.
They are good.
McKinnon's going to get his chances. You're going to try to limit him. He's going to get his chances. He's going to get his chances.
Kale McCarr gives you a three-point game, and you lose. And Connor Hellebuck, six goals against, and you lose. Like, the Jets get away with an all-timer here.
Yeah.
They tried as hard as they could to shit the bed in game one, and Alexander Georgiev wouldn't let them.
Hurry. Quote from Kale McCarr here, and it's Kale McCarr, so he would never say anything.
Jeez, this is going to annoy me.
They're going to capitalize on everything we give up. So for us, we got to do the same.
Oh.
Yikes.
Well, if they capitalized on everything, they would have scored like 12 goals in this game. man, I don't know. I don't know that the Jets can play a whole lot worse than they did in this game, and you lost.
Yep.
And that's what makes me really nervous about it. What gives me a little bit of confidence moving forward is that, wow, you played really, really, really well.
Yep.
Overall, as a team, you play really
Your
well.
Your entire forward core, you feel great about.
Listen, the way they're built, the Avalanche, the way they're built, and I'll say it again, all they need is good goaltending. Not great. Good. Like any team, they can't have bad goaltending. This was bad.
It was worse than bad, man.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, the Avs can play with them. I'm still taking them to win. I saw so much tonight that...
Keep doing that.
I'm going to drive home tonight. I am not mad, and I'm a fan of this team like we all are. They're going to be fine if they make one adjustment. Can they make the adjustment? I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
They outshot Winnipeg 46-23. Some of that is score effects, sure.
Is it? I mean,
they put 21 up in the third.
Didn't they win every period?
Yeah.
Pretty handily?
They didn't. Here are the Winnipeg shots per period. 8, 9, 6.
And can I tell you something about the second period? Stay there. Remember, I said it. They only had given up two shots with 5 minutes to go till they hit the power play. And one of the shot was that mini breakaway from Lowry. Bad shot. Because he's not he's a good player, but he's not a sniper. Bad shot that goes in. And that was two shots at 5-on-5 they gave that period.
Winnipeg's expected goals for, in all situations, is under 2. Like,
and it's a good team. You're going to give up, and you're going to make mistakes. And Josh will make a couple more mistakes, and everybody else will too.
And there were mistakes, not just Josh Manson. You had Devon Taves play a 2-on-1 horribly after a Kale McCarr pinch that was just heinous.
Yeah.
And that's another goal in the back of your net. But Connor Hellebuck made 41 saves tonight. He gave up, I guess, 40 even. He gave up six, but he made 40 saves.
And he probably made 20 real saves, where the other guy made three real saves. So it was minus 17 in saves. I don't need the real stuff. Again, we just know that give and take, that's what it was. It's just reality.
It's just tough. It's just tough to break down and go into a game where you have a forward core that you can look at. Nathan MacKinnon played awesome. Valachushkin was a beast on both ends of the puck.
Yeah.
Miko, you could have used a little more out of, for sure.
There's a couple guys that can give more. Yeah, there's a couple guys that can give more. And that's the beauty of it, too. That's the beauty. That's what keeps me feeling good about next game. You know, I'm being honest. There's a couple guys that can give more. Obviously, you know, we'll see what happens in the net. But I'm feeling good. I think they should, and I think they will. It is a team game that I'm never going to bury anyone. They're going to pick him back up. And, you know, like I've always said, it's time for a change. You know, again, if they can. if the body's healthy enough to go play.
You ever get finished with work for a day and you go out to your car and you just scream into the void of your car?
Yes.
Me too. When you do that, make sure you're doing it in a Toyota. Rudo certified the best vehicle to scream your lungs out in after a frustrating day.
Soundproofing is incredible.
Genuinely, though, go get yourself a Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR. Tons of amazing options to choose from. Whether you're a truck person who loves the Tundra, or if you're more of an SUV person, they've got the 4Runner. You can always go get a RAV4. They've got sedans, too. And they've got 16 different vehicles that come in hybrid technology. So you can save on gas and be eco-friendly, too, with Toyota. And it's great for Colorado, too. 17 vehicles with four-wheel or all-wheel drive available. So if you want to take it off the road, really go out into the wilderness and get away from whatever this was. Toyota, the way to get it. make sure you're hitting up Toyota, the official vehicle of DNVR and the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche. Visit your local Toyota dealership today. Here in Colorado, they have a number of different locations, including AutoNation Toyota, Arapahoe and Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, and Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Again, the official vehicle of the Avalanche and the official vehicle of DNVR. Go get with them. And then if you really want to get away, make sure you're hitting up Circa Resort and Casino. We're taking the playoff plunge with Circa. You can get out to the incredible pools they have over at Stadium Swim. I'd want to dunk my head underwater after that game too, to be honest. Go out to Vegas with Circa, the first ever adults only casino and resort. So you don't have to deal with all the kids. They have a 3-story stadium style sports book on top of their Stadium Swim 90-foot television. That's absolutely outrageous. So it's an incredible way to watch a game, no matter where you are. Over 7,000 square feet of casino. AJ's losing it.
The absurdity of a 90-foot television.
It's outrageous.
Where you're like, oh, yeah, I have an 80-inch TV. Like, you're rolling big.
That's a huge television.
A 90-foot television. Yeah. The first time we saw it, it was like, what is this?
How do you even? Whatever you do in Vegas, make sure you're staying with Circa. Experience Stadium Swim and watch your favorite teams at Circa Resort and Casino. Book today with code DNVR20 and save 20%. With Circa right now. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I'm sure we'll get back to some of the negatives, but let's talk about some of the specifics of the positives for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. Again, forward core, top to bottom, great. You got your depth scoring. Hard to ask for a whole lot more out of a depth lineup, including... Kiviranta gives you a point. Miles Wood gives you a goal.
the Kiviranta assist, yep, is so good because he flubs that puck.
Yep.
It's falling away from him. It's a great play by Ross Colton.
Oh, yeah.
Did they ever give him the assist for that?
They did.
Yeah, yeah.
Better have. And then Kiviranta loses the puck and Miles Wood just skates into it and slams it home. And you're like, all right, Miles Wood.
You get a great night out of your second line. Dude. Multi-point night for Lehkonen. Casey Mittelstadt picks up a goal.
Yeah, with an asterisk.
Sure. But it goes in.
He's that Pizza Hut buddy.
Valen Nichushkin with the first goal of the game. Even your fourth line, which didn't produce, but plus minus zero. They didn't kill you.
Well, and gave you some really good energy at different times in the
buried
game.
Buried like, pucks deep were, in the offensive zone.
Andrew Cogliano with a great centering feed to, I think it was Trennan in the first period.
Yep.
There were moments for that fourth line. They're not just getting run over where you're like, oh, my gosh. And I think my biggest positive out of this isn't an individual player. It was just the tenacity.
Yep. No quit, for sure.
Right. I mean, you're down 6-3.
Yep.
You know, you get... They get the seventh goal, and you're just like, okay, let's all pack it in. And instead, the Avs work. They just keep coming at them.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, if this really is going to be like a playoff Avs, if they really did flip that emotional switch to like, we know what it takes to win a championship, and we are really going to make you guys earn this. Even this bullshit,
yep.
We are going to make you earn. Even the last, what was it? 3 or 4 minutes when they had the goaltender pulled. They pulled him with three and change.
And they were eating those dudes up.
They score a goal, and they only had when Nichushkin got his pocket picked at center ice, and then I think it was Mason Appleton that just flubbed it.
Right into Makar,
I think. Yeah, and outside of that, though, it wasn't like there was a really, really great empty net opportunity for them. They had possession. They won faceoffs. They had chances to really make this super interesting, and I thought that tenacity was notable. That at various points, especially in the third period, they could have packed it in.
Absolutely.
They could have just said, Jesus, man, this is ridiculous. And they just didn't.
Even someone like Mikko, who you probably did want more out of tonight, 2 assists.
Yeah, classic Mikko.
Right, like...
Oh, he can get better. He can be better.
I know, but it's not like he was...
No, I know. But then, like I always tell you guys, and again, I'm the biggest Mikko fan. I am. But when you get ice with some of the best players in the world and you get all the PP and you're on the ice, you're going to produce. I mean, even I could produce. I'm just saying, like, and I'm not... I love the guy. He's my favorite winger in the NHL. That is not it. But he has another gear. He has another level. He can do much more. And that might have been the difference. That might have been the difference tonight. Yeah. I don't know. We'll never know. And I'm not blaming him for the loss. I mean, I think I'm not going to reiterate who we're blaming. Everybody's blaming the same guy. So, but he can be better. He can be better.
There's a lot more for him to give. But
yes.
Is there a lot more for Miles Wood to give? Is there a lot more for some of these other guys?
As much as you can get out of depth, yeah.
You know, Arturi Lehkonen comes out of this with 2 points, and I think there's more for him to give. Yeah. I thought Val, great goal.
He had a couple of pretty good defensive plays.
I wanted to see a little bit more of the two-way, and Casey Mittelstadt has moments.
There's some negative moments there, too.
I want him to put a full effort into it, you know?
I agree. String it together.
So I just think that I do come out of this very heartened by a lot of things. That's the first time all season that the Avs have let their speed really dominate the Jets like that.
Yep.
And it did, like, leave no doubt about it. They dominated this game. It was just their breakdowns
were pretty egregious at times.
Yeah, and I think that what worries me a lot is it was a lot of what we saw in the regular season of the breakdowns are bad breakdowns.
Yep.
They're the big mistake. And I think with Caleb Jones in and Sam Girard out, you don't have enough offense on your back line. If you're going to give up good scoring chances no matter what, you should at least have a guy that can fly up the ice with the puck. And as we saw with Caleb Jones, that ain't it with him. And the combination of Jack Johnson
that was tough.
And Caleb Jones is a rough one.
Forgot about Sammy, by the way.
And pretty good chance he plays there. Game two.
Well, cross our fingers.
And for the record, Cale Makar, 3-point night, was amazing offensively.
One bad play and he got it back.
Rest of the defense.
I really don't have a big problem with Cale tonight.
Yeah, like, no, agreed.
No, remember when we made the play? Yeah. We're like, well, he's going to get it back. He did.
I'm just saying, like, even that was like a... You're in no man's land where you have a really tough decision to make no matter what you do. Because even if he bails and he tries to get back to that puck, there's no guarantee he wins
that
race.
But you know what I'm saying? You're the one that looks bad. Make a save, then we don't look at it, you know? But there was no save made, so...
And for the record, he got his stick held, missed me with it. We went back and looked at it.
Whatever.
It's playoff hockey, man. Stuff happens all the time.
Way more problems with the call against Val than that.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that call at all.
Did they score on that one?
They did. Of course they did.
But then the Avs scored two for two.
What did they?
And for the record, the Avs won the special teams battle.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Like,
well, every time they had an extra man on the ice, because they scored
within a 6-on-5.
They scored 2 5-on-4 and a 6-on-5.
They won the special team. Like we talked about, go watch our pregame. We said we're never going to stay in the keys. Goaltending, special teams, and then pushback, because you need those three. Yep. Well, I'll tell you one thing. They had a lot of pushback tonight. Every time.
Yeah.
And then Winnipeg, too. You know, give them credit, too. When they got punched in the mouth, they came right back. They came back with the help of someone, but they did come back, so give them some credit. But the Avs had some pushback. The Avs had a great special teams, and they just didn't get the goaltending. I mean, what am I going to tell you? So, I don't know. Like, it's just those are key ingredients to win in a playoff game. But that was a tough one to overcome tonight. I mean, it was just tough.
It's at the end of the day, that's what every conversation is going to come back to. Your goalie gave up 7 on 23.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say.
The guy has one job.
Yep.
Which is to stop pucks. He's not responsible for the offense that gets played in front of him. You know, we talked about when the Avs got lit up by the Jets in Denver, 7-0. No amount of good goaltending was going to score goals.
They scored 0 goals. You can't win that game.
This, however.
They scored 6.
you look at him and you go, what in the hell, man? It's just. He has one job, and however you feel about the defense is how you're going to feel about the defense.
Yep.
There were breakdowns.
You think the Jets feel good about their defense tonight? Hell no.
They gave up a lot, man. They gave up a lot.
At least, not even significantly more than the Avalanche.
Yeah.
And their goalie gave up 6, but he didn't give up 7. I don't know. I don't know. What to tell you beyond hopefully Annan is healthy for game 2 in that conversation. Because, yes, I have no doubt the Avs will wake up tomorrow and take a look at film and say, Josh, you got to take that guy in front
of the net. And Josh knows, too.
Josh, you got to at least shoulder check it if you're going to throw it blind backhand up the boards.
You know what? Can I say something? I'm a big Josh guy. You guys know that. He had a tough night, like, last week, right, with those two bad penalties and... Watch the first 10 minutes. He was outstanding. Remember I said it during the watch-along.
Oh, he was crazy good.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden made that play, and I was like, So here's what I have. Okay, this is not to talk about Georgiev again, but it will end up being about that. I have confidence and faith that, is it faith, F-A-I-T-H or
correct.
No?
Yeah.
F-A-I-T-H. I have faith that Josh will come
He's
back.
French.
Sorry, we put H's anywhere. They're silent in our language. So I have faith that Josh will come back and be outstanding. I'm going to put money. If we could bet, I would bet that. That's my thing with Georgiev. I can bet you he ain't coming back with an outstanding performance. That is just what I wouldn't bet it, but I would bet Josh would have an outstanding performance, you know, after those two. Because the first 10 minutes, go watch the game. He's one of the Avs' best players. And I just said on the watch, I'm like, he's having an unbelievable night. 3 seconds later, he makes the bad play there. You know, he got put in the hot soup, but whatever. Hey, again, that's just me analyzing and being out there. I just know what the play was. The play was up, not over. But still made a bad play. So.
And there, you know, no one's, I'm not, again, not saying Manson is the only person who made bad plays tonight.
No, but
we mentioned the McCarr pinch. Taves was a -3. Had multiple plays where I don't think he played his best defense, even if he was put in tough 2-on-1 situations.
Yeah.
You give up 2 goals to Nick Lowry. Yeah, you would like some saves on those, but you also let Nick Lowry...
Adam?
Jesus. You gave up 2 goals to Adam Lowry. Yes, you want some saves on those.
You could have called him Mike, and at least we could have said it
Mike,
was about
me, Mike yeah. Lowry.
It would have been a bad boy's
reference.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no idea where the Nick came from.
Who the hell is Nick?
But remember, he's like,
you
me,
also
Mike
let
Lowry.
Adam Lowry walk your entire team and get in all alone on your goaltender. Like, how does that happen? Be better.
Nick Lowry.
Yeah, who's Nick Lowry? Let's find out.
Apparently, there's a Nick Lowry that is an internet personality.
Okay.
He's the chief growth officer at Wing, a digital telco business.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a person that I know.
I know, sure. Man. You're a big fan of Nick. He's a 67-year-old football player. I know. Rudo's big on football players.
You know me, especially from
35 years ago. Yeah, he was big on them. Anyway.
And that's this is the position you have to take if you're the Colorado Avalanche, right? If you're a skater on the Colorado Avalanche, you have to say, look, we weren't perfect, but we played pretty damn good hockey. And if we get some saves, we win this series.
Yeah.
I think that's really all there is to it.
D-line wasn't happy. Hey, it's reality.
I don't know. 174 likes, that's incredible on a lost chat. We might have to do some loser shots for you.
Can we just for our own sanity?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I can't see your other hand. 7.
That's the number of chicken fingers this game made me want to eat. That's go get yourself some Raisin Cane's.
So many fingers, man.
Best sauce ever.
Look, I got to eat through the pain in the playoffs, man.
Best sauce.
It's almost a whole chicken.
Raisin Cane's sauce could probably defend the net better, to be honest with you. I think Raisin Cane's might have held the Jets to 6 in this one. Put it to you that way. Obviously, incredible chicken fingers that you can go get there, but we all know it's about the sauce, right? The Raisin Cane sauce that you can get in on. And honestly, I'd drink it. I won't lie. I'd just drink it. I don't even need the chicken fingers, though they are quite good. Sauce I like those, too. You can order up their tender chicken fingers, get their crinkle-cut fries, and their buttery Texas toast today. Of course. Absolutely delicious food.
Texas toast, super underrated.
Hey, amen, brother. I am here for this. You get a little, you ever get some Texas toast, French toast? Combine my two compatriots here on the podcast into one?
I have actually had Texas toast, French toast. It's really good.
Mamma mia, let me tell you. Get some Italian in there too.
What the fuck, man?
That one got tipped. Let's go.
What just happened?
Go get your cook-to-order hand-battered chicken fingers.
We got some Italians in here?
Get over to your Raisin Cane's, turbocharge your chicken fingers, and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisinCane's.com or through the Raisin Cane's app. Either way, you can get your delicious chicken fingers. And then, God knows we all need to chill after that hockey game.
Chill.
Go get yourself a Coors Light, the beer made to chill. I had a few during this game because my head might have actually exploded without it, to be honest. It might have been it for me.
That would have been messy.
Coors Light, delicious stuff brewed right here in Golden, Colorado. Yeah, gotta go get it. It's great to drink whether you're watching an intense playoff game or if you're just chilling at home on the couch. And when you're there at home, you can get it delivered right to your front door at CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Instacart even will ship it right to you. Yeah, all you have to do is go to your front door. It's a lot easier than going all the way out to the liquor store. So get the beer made to chill. It's the beer I reach for when I'm chilling. Coors Light, brewed in Golden, Colorado. Please party responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. As I'm running out of words, Tiff, is it ready to go? No, okay, we'll get to it in a minute then. No, that's not a long time.
Time is up.
As Tiff is getting it ready, Jared Bednar's, I've seen some quotes out there on Twitter. We have his full presser here for you. So we're going to let him explain how this game went for himself, if it's ready.
I'll call on you. Please raise your hand. Start with Katie Goss.
Well, Coach, when you score 6 in a game, you know, especially against a Timberlake Hellebuck, there's obviously a lot of positive things to be happy with. But how do you balance kind of the group's frustration with the outcome with also, you know, learning from this one?
Well, I mean, we played hard. We played extremely hard. We did a lot of good things. You don't get 6 on the Jets without doing that, like you mentioned. We also made some mistakes that they capitalized on, too many, obviously, tonight, and it ends up costing us a hockey game. I think there's lots to look at that is on the positive side. We'll have to be better in a couple areas of the game. But I don't think there's a need for frustration at all after that. Shouldn't be frustrated at all. I think we played hard. We played well in a lot of areas. We have to clean up a couple things, but hey, this is going to be a long, hard series, and frustration shouldn't be creeping into it after losing one game in a row.
Go ahead, right here in front.
Jacob Solid, the Hawk News. I would like to know your thoughts on Gorgiev's performance tonight.
They probably need to be better, right? Like, I thought we played well. We created some chances. He made some good saves, but we're going to need, like, a couple more saves than that probably to win, you know? But it is what it is. We'll regroup. It wasn't, like, we made some mistakes in front of him that we'll have to clean up and try to get the job done. It's a team game.
Jesse.
Coach, the overall attitude in the locker room is very similar to what you're saying. You know, a lot of good things about them. The mistakes that were made, are they stuff that you kind of feel positive about? They're not the same mistakes over and over.
Because, listen, you got to win battles, you got to win races, you got to be highly competitive, you got to do the right thing structurally, which we did. You look at the goals, quickly, goal one, good coverage, shot, has eyes, makes it all the way through to the net and goes in. Goal two, we turn it over, right? Can't throw it into the middle of the ice. They make a nice play and get a stick out of it. Safer play is probably around the boards on that one. Goal three, it's a hard forecheck. We're in good coverage. We lose the ceiling net from the air, right? So it's not from lack of effort, lack of positioning, mental errors. Like the turnover would be a mental error. But they capitalize on those chances, so we have to try and give them less. I mean, it's just that simple.
Megan.
26 comeback wins in the regular season points to a lack of panic in this group, and there's elements of that tonight. What do you attribute to that lack of panic, and how can you leverage that, especially in the face of so many key players?
Listen, you, it's about belief, and it's about, like, not giving up on what you've worked so hard for. That's the reality, right? Like, if you're going to work for something, put everything you got into it for 8 months, and you have belief in your team that you can come back in any situation, and you keep playing as hard as you possibly can, pushing for that to happen. And sometimes it happens. Tonight it didn't, you know? But I think it's just, you know, being strong mentally, being resilient, and believing in what you're doing. And regardless of success or failure, like, our message is you go put your best foot forward and play every shift like it's your last. I mean, it's the best time of the year to be playing hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs and in the best league in the world. You gotta embrace it. You gotta put everything you have into it if you want to win.
Front right.
Yes, Coach, I'm just wondering, with the outburst of offense by both teams, what's going through your mind, when the goals are coming fast and furious? Did you throw your game plan out of the,
we didn't. We have an identity that we want to play to, and I thought the guys played to it tonight. And, throwing your game plan out the window is something that just fragments our team. Like, we have to stick to our plan and the way we want to play. Doesn't mean we don't try and make adjustments here or there on things that we see or things that we pick up. It's pretty clear when you're playing a hockey game as a team, as a coach, and when you're doing things that you talk about all year long and you're playing ahead of the other team's structure, the good things will happen for you. And if you start sort of breaking off on your own page, it usually leads to disaster. So just because goals are coming quicker and more frequently for both teams, it's not something that we just want to continue to stick to our process through the course of the night and then make adjustments and start again fresh the next day.
Katie, then Corey.
Well, coming into this, Jonathan Druin's absence was a big miss in the top six. Felt like the team really did a good job of shifting upwards, adjusting to that. The power play also features him. So what did you like about the way the team kind of responded to the changes without him?
Yeah, I mean, I liked it because the power play, I mean, as you know, Becky and Val spend a lot of time in there. We've had some fluidity in that power. I know Drew's been a part of it for most of the year and a real important part of it. But those guys have been with us and have played in those positions for years, not just like weeks or months this season. So they're perfectly capable of continuing to do that. It takes you know, a potent offensive player out of your lineup, so everyone else has to step up. I thought the like Parise did a nice job on the top line. That was still a really good line. The Middlestead line was also a good line offensively. The group that really kind of turned it up from an offensive standpoint for me was Colton Wood and Kimmy Raptor did a nice job. Like, they were highly effective in a lot of different areas of the game, not just on the defensive side or the physicality side, but like offensively that was a dangerous group, which really helps. I mean, you have to have the depth scoring and the contributions throughout your lineup, and everyone has their own sort of specific role and identity, both as individuals and lines, but As a group tonight, like we didn't miss Drew's offense because everyone else was like significantly better than just average game in the regular season.
Last couple ones, Corey.
Do you feel like maybe even going back to the last couple games of the regular season and then tonight, some of the early goals, some of the mistakes that turn into goals, do you feel like your team kind of gets tense or has issues with just starts to play a different way because maybe they're worried about the mistakes going in the back end?
Well, I thought our start was great tonight. I did. And I know that we get a lead and then it's like, you know, it's gone. But, like, I just felt like we were pretty steady in our approach tonight. You know, I didn't think, like, you get the feeling on the bench. It's frustration sitting in. Is it, you know, do you believe in what you're doing? Like, I think we proved a lot to ourselves tonight in that locker room. Like, we haven't played the Jets well this year. We played them a good game at home early in the season, but like that's our first taste of us playing hard and then playing hard and seeing what's going to happen, you know, and it's a 7-game series, so I don't think that a whole lot changed for us, like from start to finish in that game. I thought the guys played as hard as they possibly could, as clean as they possibly could.
Kyle?
We were told Eustace Annan was unavailable with illness tonight. Yeah. Do you expect him to be healthy enough to play in the next game? And what will go into your decision on who starts in net?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play or not. He wasn't healthy enough to play tonight. We'll see what we see in the morning. And then, you know, I'm not thinking about anything else. We've got to have him available if he's going to play.
Last one.
If so, would you consider a goaltending change?
I'm not going to speculate. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jared.
Okay, let's be real. If you're Jared Bednar, what are the consequences of going out there and saying my goaltender shit the bed?
Well, do you destroy his confidence any more than that 7-goal game?
How much lower can it go, man? How much lower can it go?
Fuck.
And I get, you know, there are rules where, like, people will get fined if you say certain things. But...
yeah. I guess.
Is, hey, we needed a couple of more saves to win that game as close as a coach not named John Tortorella can get to.
I honestly think he said it all when he got asked the question. He said, he could have been a little bit better. That pause was the hamster running in the wheel trying to find what is the polite way to say
I
this.
I can't swear in this pod in this interview, so.
I mean, post-game pressers are just tiny podcasts.
kinda, man.
We all put them on YouTube anymore, so aren't they?
I feel bad for coaches. They have to go 5 minutes, 10 minutes after freaking, you know, their emotions being so, like, you know, and then you have to go answer questions. And that's why, like... you're not getting their real answers. You're not. I mean, again, like you said, maybe torts once in a while, but which makes it funny.
That's a different animal.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, what are you going to say? Yeah, he was horseshit. I mean, it's a team game. You win as a team. You lose as a team. Unfortunately, tonight, you know, one of your chains was not very strong in the link, and it cost you, but it's tough to say that. Publicly, you know, I mean, you just can't. You're not going to. You're going to see what you saw there. That's about it.
Let's do these.
Let's do the winner's shots that are loser's shots.
Yeah, let's pour them all over the chair, too.
It's just that type of night, buddy.
God damn it.
How is it still spilling? What is going on?
I don't know, man.
Bring it. All right. Thank you, chat. We do appreciate the over 200 likes. That is impressive. And I hope you're getting through this okay.
Word.
Let's hear from the guy himself. Alexander Georgiev, what did he have to say after this one?
Sure, this is riveting.
It's for us, and it's kind of high event game. But, you know, being tied up in the first is pretty good position for us.
Without Eustace being available tonight, did you sort of figure that you'd be having to ride out the game late in that one?
Yeah, just trying to build it up and play my game no matter what. You know, it was not enough today, unfortunately.
Was there anything in particular that you didn't like about how you played?
I'll watch the video, check it out, and analyze.
In a game like this where there's a lot of momentum swings for both teams, for you personally, how do you kind of balance keeping your emotions in check, staying locked in?
Just trying to focus on the next shot whenever it comes. I think I did a couple good saves. You know, when we were down 4-3, I think, in the second. They managed to score a couple at the right time.
Thank you, Jordy.
It's tough. It's a tough one for Colorado. Eric's right.
How do you focus on the next shot? Let's ask the guy who hasn't shown the ability to do exactly that.
I think there's a difference between... Okay, I play with Patty Wall. You talk about emotion and passion and that.
Freak,
you know,
show.
Yeah, he's given up some bad goals. And, you know, and I've seen him show some emotions after a goal, whatever. But there's a big difference between showing emotions and then having bad body language. There's a big difference. For me... I'm playing against him, not just tonight, but I've seen it so many times. I told you guys, I'm on the bench. I didn't play a lot towards the end of my career. I looked at all those things. If I saw that, I'd be all over my teammates. Boys, we're in his head. Let's go, let's go. You're showing the team, you're showing everyone that you're not there right now mentally when you're doing that.
Let's be real. Patrick Waugh made a career out of getting mad and then annihilating teams.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
he would come to the bench, and in the 96 Cup, he said, no more goals. And what happened?
No more goals. No more rats.
No, I mean, I've been in the dressing room with him, but he's like, hey, he's looking at guys, and he's looking at high-profile guys. You go do your job. I'm going to do mine, okay? I know I haven't been great in the first period, but I'm going to shut the door. And then you go, and that's passion. That's showing emotions, you know? Big difference with bad body language.
Meanwhile, Georgiev has made an entire season of getting mad and melting down. He doesn't take that mad energy and channel it into playing better. He just falls apart.
It's not productive energy for him.
No.
It's destructive energy.
Exactly. No, it's infectious to the rest of the team. It's a disease. It's not good. It's not good.
It's just not that complicated of a game. Anyway, the Avs will play at minimum... two home games in this series.
Sick.
I highly suspect Georgiev will not start either of them. But if you want to go catch him, get your tickets at Game Time. Go over to Game Time today. Use code DNVR. You get $20 off your first purchase. Maybe you'll be cheering on Eustace Annan in the net. Who's to say? I don't know. Certainly, if the Avs play like they did in this game, you'll probably have a great time at these Avs playoff games. So go get your tickets with Game Time, not just the Avs. You can get Nuggets playoff tickets. You can get concert tickets. You can get theater tickets. Whatever it is. Hell, you can go to the Rockies game for probably like $2.
I actually bet that's true.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Go get your tickets with Game Time. They guarantee you the best price out there. If you find tickets cheaper somewhere else, they'll reimburse your account 110% of the ticket price. Join over 15 million people who use Game Time to get their tickets. And then, it's a great time to become a DNVR diehard. Right now, regardless of what the Avalanche do, you get access to exclusive content. You get all sorts of amazing bonuses, including discounts on merch, discounts at the bar. You get a free shirt with your membership. You also get access to the DNVR Lounge Discord channel. All sorts of great stuff coming with that, including... a whole bunch of guys who have signed up over the last week, including, hey, Jamal, Namrednug, I probably ruined your name. This guy just called himself God on here. That takes some stones.
Oh, yeah, man, that's awesome.
Given to Fly 21, Bobby Stabs, Beast King 18, and PJ Cronin 1. Thank you, all of you, for becoming a DNVR diehard. If you want yourself shouted out on the show, become a diehard today.
I
want
to know the story behind somebody how somebody decides to call themselves Bobby Stabs on the internet. I just want to know. Hit me up. I just want to know the story, man. No judgment. I just want to know. Holy Jesus.
We got a lot of super chats. Let's get to them. $20 from Mark, who says, buy yourself a drink. We can no longer tolerate 40 in net.
Done.
In. $2 from Andrew, who says, at least Georgie is consistent with a couple of crying, laughing faces.
Yep. That's, yep.
$5 from Colton, who says, should I go get Trent Miner? He lives pretty close to me. He's got an Eagles playoff run to deal with. $5 from Bigfoot, who says, do you think Bednar at the end of the season, if Georgiev plays another minute in... Oh, do you fire Bednar if Georgiev plays another minute for the Fs? No, he didn't have any choice. Like, whatever conversation you want to have about that decision, Eustace Annan was sick tonight. And if you play Arvid Holm in a playoff game, you deserve to be fired.
Yes.
So he had no choice.
Now game two.
That's where things get interesting. $5 from Eric, who says, Lowry pointing at the net and Avs bench needs to be remembered game two. We got a 850 save percentage. We win that game. Stay positive. 695.
Instead, it was... He had a 69 save percentage.
69? Nice.
Instead of that... It would be nice if that was his last game, but we know it won't be.
It might be.
Oh, it is.
No.
It is.
Eric and I have a good bet brewing here.
Yeah.
$5 from another Eric, who says, this Eric agrees with the other Eric. One change, and it is Avs and six. No way the Jets are feeling that good tonight after giving up six. I certainly do not think the Winnipeg Jets are feeling good at all. You scored 7 goals on 22 shots. You're not in there dapping each other up. You're going, boys, we got away with one.
No, I disagree with this completely. I think that as much as I think the Jets are like, we had some problems tonight, they're one win closer to the championship.
Absolutely true.
This conversation has big Rui Hachimura, Nikola Jokic, Western Conference Final energy in it. Oh, they found something.
The moral victory.
Yeah, yeah. No. All that. The Jets won. They feel great tonight.
I believe that when Eric says the Avs are going to win in 5. I'm with you on that. But I don't think the Jets are sitting in that locker room going, yeah, this series is over. We got this.
I don't think they're saying that. I mean, but I think they feel great tonight.
Of course, they should. Hey, they won the game.
It's all about W's. I agree. But they're holy shit.
$5 from Tommy, who said, playoff Avs showed up, suffocating fast, sniping, grinding, in your face. I just hope goaltending doesn't mentally defeat them. Yep. Yep, that would be good.
I agree. I
mean, why did we skip one?
Just because this is from Tommy again.
Oh, okay. $10 more from Tommy saying, P.S. Way too much passing at the end of the game with the goalie pulled. Looking for the perfect shot. Look what went in. A baseball bat off the goalie, off the back of the defenseman.
I agree.
Flower in a net, we win.
Yeah, Flower didn't want to come.
Right. Flower said no to everything, so there's nothing you could have done.
I agree. It would have been perfect.
What are you supposed to do?
Did they pass the puck around too much at the end? Maybe, but it's hard for me to fault an offense that gave you six goals, a whole lot. Yeah.
But I agree.
$2 from Pete, who says, why puck no hit George? Love you guys. Game two, let's up and go.
I love it.
That's two people I've made breakdown on this podcast. What an
incredible win. Distill a hockey game into one... broken sentence.
Fuck, just hit you once.
Oh my God, I'm dizzy.
$5 from Richard, who said, why don't they just put Mikko and Val on the first line? I mean, what? Does it matter? Your first line was fine.
All of your lines were fine.
Your second line was fine.
He scored 6.
I wouldn't mind. No, shout at it.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just not a thing that is even on my list of things for tonight.
Parise online too. It's just as fine. I don't know that it
changes much at all.
I don't know that it's a material difference.
$5 from Banks, who says, anyone got Bedsy's phone number? I'd like to talk to him about various juice choices.
He's sick.
He's on a juice cleanse right now.
He is sick. So whatever he has, so he's sick. Yeah. He's sick.
$5 from Let's Go Avs. You simply cannot get out goalied in a game. You score 6 freaking goals.
Yeah.
And yet, $5 from Kyle, who says, hey, guys, I just watched Bednar's post-game interview, but the plans to start Georgiev, whether Anand is healthy or not, which I'm pretty upset about.
Is that what he said? Did he say that? I couldn't hear it earlier.
I don't know how specific he was with it, but I've been told that he said something along those lines.
Yeah, there's no way. No way.
Again, I don't know that that leash is long, but I bet he starts that game. He gives up 2 in the first period, though. Are you really going to be like, yeah, let's live through this again?
How can you start him again? How can you?
Can't.
$10 more from Tommy going off. I'm not reading this. Thank you for the dollars. That likely depends very much on what the Avs are doing.
Yeah. Our availability is very Avalanche dependent.
Yeah. $2 from Eric, who says, chat, Bedsy is staying. Georgiev might. I mean, Georgiev is gone, in my opinion. No matter what happens in game 2, that dude will not be playing for the Colorado Avalanche next year. That's how I feel about it.
So he's in next game? Is that what it says? It's confirmed?
I mean, nothing's official.
No.
Oh. There's no way.
I'm telling you what's happening.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. I'm in that staff tonight. I'm fighting. I don't care. I'm pounding the table. That's how convinced I am, and I'm pounding the table tonight. Like, this is it. Again,
that's a chair.
Assuming Eustace can go, right? He practiced yesterday, yeah, correct?
And like, obviously, if Eustace can't go, what are you gonna do? You just cross your fingers and put the guy in.
I agree. You know what I mean? So, but I think I pound my fist on the freaking table, and I'm like, nope, I'm fighting right now. We're making a switch.
There can't be many people on the planet that want to start Alexander Georgiev.
Does Alexander Georgiev want to start game two?
Honestly,
I don't think he does.
He didn't sound like a guy that wanted the net.
I don't think he does. So that's my problem right now.
Is this Bednar trying to
rope a dope a little bit?
No, is he trying to force a round peg into a square hole here?
Or reverse.
I don't know.
And again,
the square hole. Everything goes in the square hole.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, I saw that video.
Or he knows that Eustace is really unavailable again because he's really.
Yeah.
He's like 6'6".
6'6". You know what I mean? Again, we're hoping everybody's health is more important.
I cannot understand it. If Eustace Annan is okay on Tuesday and he's not playing, I cannot understand it.
To be mad about this, too, guys.
$5 from Melanie, who says, on to the next. Maybe aliens will come and snatch Georgiev up and switch him with a good goalie.
Yeah. Did we ever consider the possibility that he got Monstarred?
60 games ago?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the start Monstarred? Of the year. Space Jam.
Oh.
Where they abduct all their playing ability, and then all the guys whose playing ability they steal, they can't play anymore.
Gotcha. But I agree.
I mean, did that happen?
Had to.
Which?
$2 from Pete. How the F can Georgiev, I can say his name, I promise, just blow up from last year?
Goalies, man.
Yep.
We talk about this all the time. Goalies, man.
Yep.
6-inch game. That's it.
$2 from Stefan, who says there's 6 more games, boys. Got it. All of them. I mean, there could only be 3 more games. We don't know, but. The series is not over. That is absolutely true.
Hell yeah. We know there's going to be another one.
At least 3 more.
Focus is on game 2.
Yep. $2 from Schickster. I don't know how to say your name. Go Jets, go. Go Jets, go. Start Georgiev again, please.
Thanks for your money. Bucks.
Yeah.
Worth it to have absolutely. That, I guess.
$2 from RC Cola, who says Georgiev was here and will be back on Tuesday.
No.
$2 from Justin, who says, Eric, do players say anything to Beds or Georgiev?
I bet Nathan MacKinnon does.
Here's what I'll say. You'll never say anything publicly. Have I been in locker rooms that are championship-type locker rooms? Yes, and they say it right to your face. Unacceptable. You got to be better. And I've seen it where I've been in shitty teams where nothing's said, but it's all said behind in the back of the bus, not telling the guy to his face. You know what I mean? So, again, there is stuff. And then coaches are coaches. But if you have a good relationship with your core, which I think Bednar does, I know Bednar does, then you know what? It's a partnership. And, yeah, there's things you can talk about with your leadership group and about where the direction of the team's going. And I'm sure that, again, it's such a fragile thing, playoffs, because you lose a game, it's the end of the world. You lose two, you're in a deep hole. So, yeah, I'm sure that it can be talked about a little bit and say, hey, what are your thoughts? You know what I mean? And that's okay. Doesn't mean that they'll go with it, but they sure can talk about it, absolutely.
Do you even need to say anything after that game? Everybody knows.
I agree.
I would. I mean, it's just my personality, but I would.
$2 from Luke, who says Anana needs the good drugs to get to game two.
Who knows what he's got, right?
Yeah, so. You just don't know. $2 more from Tommy, who says, who's our goalie next year? Probably isn't on the team right now.
Used to sound it, and it'll be one of them.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Cop out.
True. $2 from Wilson, who says, I feel bad for Georgiev before the person. Go, Avs.
Sure. 100%.
The human being sucks, man. That's awful. The NHL player, just not good enough.
Yeah, it's absolutely, I mean, this is the same conversation we had with Hunter Miska.
Yep.
You felt awful, awful for Hunter Miska, but in terms of making decisions and being an NHL player, I mean, you have a job to do, and unfortunately, your job is in front of everybody.
Yep.
So there's no hiding from it, especially as a goaltender, but if you can't do the job and you fall apart, then we all have to watch it. And that's awful, but that's why it takes a special breed to have the intestinal fortitude, the mental stability in order to do that job. That's why true blue number one NHL starters, there's 10 of them, 15 of them, maybe, in the world.
You just watched one of them give up six tonight. The difference is...
You watched the best of the best this year have a horrible game.
It happens. The difference is you bet the Winnipeg Jets believe Connor Hellebuck is going to be better next game.
He will be great.
And no one has faith in Georgiev to be any good in the next one.
Yep.
Nope.
That's it. That's all I got to say. So we're going to get out of here. We appreciate so many of you hanging out with us. We will be back tomorrow, no doubt, to discuss the goalie controversy of who should start game two and much more about the Avs and the playoffs as a whole. So tune in 2 p.m. Mountain tomorrow, and we'll be back for the game Tuesday, too. We'll talk to you on the next one.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.